Hey guys, it's your man Brad Gilmore. Before we start the show today, I gotta shout out one of our sponsors that keeps this show coming to you every single week free of charge. All right, and this week's sponsor is an app. Yeah, it's Square Breathing Meditation app for your Windows phone. It's an app for total relaxation. Did you know to help calm your nerves, you gotta get this Square Breathing Meditation app for your Windows phone? Breathing is one of the most effective ways to combat stress, and you need to know how to do it properly. The Square Breathing app will guide you through that process. You can download the app on your Windows phone by just searching Square Breathing, and I'll include the link to download the app in today's show notes. So go download the app, and then I want you to enjoy the show.
Traveling is great. Going to faraway places and experiencing new places and exciting cultures is so much fun. Of course, the right travel book is essential if you want to see all the right attractions and go to the most beautiful places. If you're planning on traveling to Cambodia to see the amazing temples, you need to get your copy of the book Angkor Wat and Cambodia Temples by Anton Swanepoel. This book has over 850 pictures, covers over 200 temples and attractions. It's extremely informative and packed full of valuable information from someone who has been there and knows the land very well. With this book, you'll know what you'll be seeing before you get there. Cambodia is an exciting adventure just waiting to happen. And with this book, adventure, it only gets better. Even if you just want to learn more about Cambodia, this is the perfect book to add to your collection. The pictures, they are amazing. The text is very detailed and interesting. Get your copy of Angkor Wat and Cambodia Temples by Anton Swanepoel by visiting the author's website. AntonSwanepoelBooks.com. That's AntonSwanepoel. AntonSwanepoelBooks.com for Angkor Wat and Cambodia Temples by Anton Swanepoel.
Oh, Brian, what have you done now?
You're talking to the Rolex wearing,
woo!
Diamond ring wearing,
woo!
Kiss stealing,
woo!
Wheeling dealing,
woo!
Limousine ride,
woo!
Jet flying,
woo!
Suck it up, look up,
woo!
And I'm having a hard time.
Holy Halligan down!
Now give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Woo!
This is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand or demand.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out the Brad Gilmore Show on demand right here.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show.
Can you dig that, sucker?
On demand.
On demand.
On demand.
And now, here's your host, Brad Gilmore. Gilmore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show. On demand. Hey, I just have one question that I have to ask all those Seahawks fans out there. How does it feel to be deflated, Seattle? Just kidding. Hey, shout out to the Seattle Seahawks on such an incredible Super Bowl game. But the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, the God, came through fourth quarter, made the plays happen, ended up 28-24 for the four-time champ, Tom Brady of the New England Patriots and the rest of the Patriots. Whoa, Butler, man, you came through out of nowhere, dog. Out of nowhere, and you pulled out the victory for your team. I was sitting there. I was watching the Super Bowl with my parents. I thought it was over. I thought it was over. I seriously was sitting there, and when they made that catch, when that guy was on the ground, I don't even know the player's name, but he was on the ground. He was fumbling the football. He caught it, and I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. This happened to us last time, and I don't know, by the grace of God, by the grace of Tom Brady, to God, by the grace of Bill Belichick, by the grace of deflated footballs, I don't know, by some grace of God, they made a decision to throw that football when they should have just handed it off to Lynch and let him go and score the touchdown to win the game. But for some reason, they threw it, interception, then a fight broke out, and then the Patriots won the Super Bowl. So congratulations to Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the entire New England Patriots organization on winning their fourth fourth Super Bowl in the last 15 years, I believe. What an incredible game. I mean, that's all you can really ask for out of a Super Bowl. It was so much better than last year's Super Bowl. I can't even get over it, but I have to. I have to move past. We have things to do today on the show. I know it's Monday. I decided I didn't like Tuesday. The pod going up on a Tuesday was fun, but I just want to get to y'all quicker, all right? I want quicker. And for all of you people interested in sports and entertainment, UFC, NFL, like the Super Bowl, MLB, NBA, whatever, sports. Those of you who like sports, guess what? I have a new podcast coming out here in March, and it's called Views from the Announce Table. Brad Gilmore presents Views from the Announce Table. It will include the Announce Table episodes that me and Kyle Hubbard did, and some new stuff, some old stuff, some all kinds of great things. You know, I'm going to be doing some interesting things with that podcast, and that's going to be called Views from the Announce Table. There will be a link sent out on my Twitter, on my Instagram, and on BradGilmoreShow.com, which, by the way, you can get this show now on BradGilmoreShow.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and on YouTube. They're on everything. It's been a challenge to get that URL to work, but somehow I figured it out. So many great things going on. Before we get to the show today, which my guest is the one and the only, the Matt Topolsky, my broadcast colleague from Reality of Wrestling, we sat down in the new studio, no more brown sugars. We sat down in the new studio, and we had a nice interview. I interviewed Matt, and then Matt turned around and he interviewed me. The Topolsky podcast is coming out soon. I am the first guest. Was very, very happy to be the first guest. It was an incredible interview. We talked about my career as a live event host in 2011 and leading up until Reality of Wrestling. And we talk about Grams, my grandma, which, by the way, I had the pleasure of interviewing my own grandmother. And that's going to be on a future episode of the Brad Gilmore Show. Yes, my grandma will be on an episode of this podcast. So a lot of stuff coming up. Also, February the 21st, in the Pasadena Convention Center, it'll be Reality of Wrestling presents the Final Heat. Tickets are on sale now. We just had to open up 100 new seats because these tickets were flying out. They're selling out. It's going to be Harlem Heat versus the Heavenly Bodies in the main event for the Reality of Wrestling Tag Team Championships and much more. But right now, what I want to do is send it on over to the Monday Morning Music Mix here on the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand. And then right after that, we'll be back with our interview with the one and only Matt T.P. Topolsky of Reality of Wrestling. So stay tuned. This is the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand.
That body I wanna do. Damn girl, I'm feeling you. So let's just do. And me, I'm in that place you wanna be. Yeah girl, I'm talking VIP. So let's just be. So let's go. Take my hand to the dance floor. Forgetting what we came for. Cause tomorrow's way too soon. We don't need no fancy cars. Still a living shoes and stars. Forget your phone, let's have some fun.
You're perfect like the Huxtables, but I'm just trying to figure out if I love you though. Cause you know what they say about your type. Off-white, model like, only order salads right. But see, with an accent that's thick as hell. Real sweet, with some eyes like you're from Brazil. And well, I can tell that you're feeling this. And in them Louis Vuittons, girl, you be killing it. This is something that I've been on. And your body I can send on. Friend zone, I'm just asking what the fuck is that. You're not trying to fall in love, good luck with that. Cause your mama say better get stuck with that. And your friends say he is where the buzz is at. So, why you trying to act mean, girl, when you know your boy tighter than them skinny jeans, girl. Spit like a list, but I gotta keep it clean, girl. You just gotta try me once, I'm a fiend, girl. Dream, girl. Something like Beyonce ring, girl. Something like Beyonce one day. Maybe a bunch of kids like the Brady. Trying to say the world, why Clef on some Haiti? Lately, baby, I've been thinking I can change for you. Got a boy playing a new game for you.
Let's go. Take my
to the sun. You worked all day, got a little bit done. That's okay, now the night begins. As long as we don't go home tonight, never ends. So, oh, yo, we way past go. Collect 200, now let's head to the show. See your favorite band with a drink in the hand. The way you look at me, it's clear I'm the man. But this ain't about me, this about you. The way you're looking at me is how I'm looking at you. With them cat eye shades, thin little waist, thick gold ass and the lips that taste. Say what you think about, she said nothing. It's easy to see that heart start to pumping, pulse increasing, cheeks start to blushing. But do you wanna be starting some? Mama say, mama sama my kusa. Mama say, mama sama my kusa. Your mama don't like me, daddy wanna fight me. I don't really care, you down or not. We can hop in the truck, drive far away. And with a little luck, maybe you stay in my bed, rest your head, and we can think about the greatest thing.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Brad Gilmore Show. And I know it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Don't perk your eyes off. This is a big deal for me. All right. You've been on this show before.
I have.
But never in this setting. You've been on like specials.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll call you. I'm like, hey, we need to plug reality wrestling. Let's talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about SummerSlam.
My seat's getting warmer.
But now you're here. We're in the new studio.
The new studio. How about this?
I call it the nudio.
The nudio.
Is that weird? The nudio. Like, the
honey, you can call it whatever you want. Just get better rugs in here.
Shout out to DJ Motai for the rugs.
Yeah.
It's an incredible sight to see. But right now I'm with the co-host, I will say,
yes,
of Reality of Wrestling, airing weekly on Cube 57 and Soul of the South in 18 national markets.
Exactly. You know why? I'm interesting you called me co-host. Neither
yes.
one of us have ever said we are the voice of Reality of Wrestling. And why is that, Brad? Because this couldn't be possible without both of us.
Exactly.
Precisely. So
I
we are the voices.
The voices.
Of Reality of Wrestling.
Plural. But I
yes.
say co-host, you know what
yes.
I'm saying?
Yes.
Because it sounds, one, cooler
right.
than the voice.
I agree.
I'm the voice. No,
yeah.
I'm the host, all
yeah.
right? I'm the co-host of Reality of Wrestling.
It's episodic television.
It is episodic
television.
We're Johnny Carson
yeah.
and Ed
yeah.
McMahon. We'll lead
yeah.
it. We'll leave y'all to figure out which one's
yeah.
which.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Letterman and Schaefer.
Well, I think my waistline's about McMahon at this point, so.
Johnny Carson was always a thin man.
I adore Johnny Carson.
Matt Topolsky, by the way, is on the podcast.
Yes, hi, everybody. Here I am.
Isn't he the best? Woo-hoo. Is he not the best to ever do it, Johnny Carson?
Johnny Carson, in my opinion, is the greatest live entertainer who's not a singer who has ever lived. Not only because of what he did on The Tonight Show and the fact that he did it for
30
over
years.
Three decades.
Yeah.
But... it's funny, I was watching an interview that Charlie Rose did with David Letterman earlier today, and he talked about what it was like to sit next to Johnny Carson for the first time. He said, it's funny, he said, you look at a $5 bill, and you look at a $5 bill every day for your entire life, he goes, and then one day you sit down, and Lincoln's sitting next to you.
Oh.
And he's like, that's what it was like to meet Johnny Carson. And the thing about Johnny Carson is that Johnny Carson made it seem so seamless, so easy. Did you ever see him sweat?
No,
in the
I mean,
30 years that he did the show?
The guy was incredible. I mean, because he was so quick on his feet. I mean, and the thing about it is, you know, we don't realize it, But Johnny Carson in his heyday was a major sex symbol. And he was one of the leaders of the sexual revolution, along with Hugh Hefner. I mean, that guy did so many things to sculpt modern pop culture. I mean, it's incredible. And he never sweat. He never sweat. He even if he had a bad joke and he knew it was going bad, he made it funny in his failure.
His failed monologues are some of my favorite moments in television history.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
because he's just so self-deprecating and off the cuff, and it's funny. He was so calm, cool, and collected behind that desk, but when he was doing his monologues, he had this bit of nervous excitement in him that was like just completely counter to what you saw behind the desk. He just, that desk was his home.
I mean,
I adore that man.
It's funny because, and I know this is like a weird way to start off the podcast, but it's funny for me because Johnny Carson, obviously, one of my favorite, you know, entertainers of all time.
And
the first time I got to host something, like go out and host, you kind of have to open up with a monologue almost. And I understand the nervous excitement because you're up there. There's a crowd of people watching you, just you. You know, at this moment, soon they're going to be watching the performer or your guest or whatever. But at that point, they're just watching you, and you alone have to say something and do something to get a reaction out of this crowd. It's a lot like having sex, if you think about it.
Isn't it the scariest and yet the most empowering and exciting feeling in the world?
It is.
I love it.
It's like having sex, Topolsky, because you're standing there, you being the man of the in this analogy.
Yes.
And you're walking around, you're doing all these crazy emotions.
What's the other man doing, Gilmore?
but no, you're doing all these crazy emotions,
yes.
And the audience, which is the women, gets to play the role of the woman, just sit there and try to and enjoy this.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get any kind of sound out of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an incredible thing as a
host. It really is. I did a little stand up when I was in college.
Really?
And I got to pay the bill somehow. And I said it was a little bit because it wasn't paying the bill, so I went back to selling refrigerators at Sears.
Hey, but whatever works,
man. But no, I mean it's I've always found myself personally to be more comfortable in front of a crowd, a large crowd, than a small group.
Oh.
And that's another reason why I admire Johnny Carson so much, is because he was very much the same way, very private man personally, yet shared most of his life with the entire world.
It's incredible,
and that's amazing.
How is stand up for you? Because that stand up comedy is something that I've wanted to do, right? And I've had a desire.
Depends on the crowd. Could be brutal. If they're drunk enough, and if you've stolen enough good jokes, it's not bad. It's not.
I think
bad.
That's the Dane Cook philosophy.
Yeah.
Of comedy.
Well, yeah. But you know what? A lot of people hate on Dane Cook, but Dane Cook's an entertainer, man.
I think he's funny.
He's an entertainer, and he's a businessman, and he made a lot of money at it. And I'm not I'm part of the Dane Cook fan club. Is he still doing it?
I think he still tours.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's necessary. The guy sold out Madison Square Garden.
There you go. Hit me up when you sold out Madison Square Garden.
Then you can do it. But anyway, Matt Topolsky, we've known one another now. Well, actually, we've known each other for pretty much a year now.
A year. When this airs, a year this month, actually.
Yeah.
February will mark my 1 year anniversary with Reality of Wrestling and working with you.
Yeah, that's incredible. I can't believe it's been a year, man. And you came on the scene. I remember this, and I told you this recently.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get to a lot in this interview, but it's the day after Valentine's Day, February the 15th, right?
Uh-huh.
Reality of Wrestling, our special guest Kevin Nash, right? One of our bigger shows.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there. I'm doing ring announcing at the time. And I remember sitting there, you know, whatever, doing my thing, getting my Bruce Buffer on, who's the greatest ring announcer of all time, in my opinion. And I'm getting it on, and then I see you come out, and you ask somebody a question, right? Didn't you ask someone a question on the show?
I did. I had no idea what I was doing.
Who'd you ask a question to?
It was Abel.
It was
Abel Andrew Jackson after the match, and his security team and politics stopped me, and the interview, from what I understand, never aired. But it was just one of those things where it was like, oh, you got a suit on, go out there and just fucking ask him a question. So I went ahead and did it. I mean, I've done it for Legacy and stuff before, where,
yeah.
Which is funny because the first time I ever tried to do an interview for Legacy too, they had this bald, just jacked up.
Legacy's boxing, correct?
Well, MMA.
MMA.
It was a
MMA
show at House of Blues on HDNet, and they sent me in there to interview these fighters after the fight, and there's this giant fucking just huge man who's their ring announcer. He looks like Mr. Clean on steroids. I mean, like, and I mean, no disrespect at all if he's listening, because I mean, he was a top-notch ring announcer. But, and he just tells me, he's like, "You out of the cage." And I'm like, "They're sending me in here." He's like, "You out of the cage." So my interview there lasted less time than my first
than
interview
the one
in
there.
Reality wrestling. Yes.
But so you came into reality, you know, by the time this airs, a year ago.
Yes.
And you came over though from the NWA, correct?
Well, I mean, it depends. They keep rebranding themselves, so I don't know what we would call it. But yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah, look, yeah. I think over this past year, you've become one of my closer friends.
Yes, I agree with that.
And I know your story, for the large part of it. And I find it real interesting. And so, I mean, I don't want you to say anything you don't have to.
Yeah.
I don't want you to take any unnecessary shots if you don't feel like it. whatever gets the podcast clicked.
Oh, but, some people are so nervous right now.
But let's take it even back further than that.
Yeah.
Before wrestling,
yeah.
You started in boxing and mixed martial arts?
Actually, before that, I worked in the United States Senate. Actually, I wanted a career in politics is what I wanted. And so I worked for a United States senator named Rick Santorum, who was running for president.
Was he a governor?
No, he was not. But he was unseated in the United States Senate by a governor's son named Bob Casey Jr.
Okay.
And
Rick Santorum, I've heard of Rick Santorum.
Yeah. And so when things didn't pan out there, you know, my internship and everything I was doing had come to an end. And I was kind of like, well, what do I do now? You know, and then eventually I found myself moving to Houston.
From Washington, D.C.?
Well, no. I lived in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. but I was working because I was finishing up college at the time. And I finished up with that and moved to Houston, and always wanted to work in television and broadcasting. Because the whole political thing for me was, how do I transition this into talking about politics on television?
Okay.
I mean, I never wanted to actually work in a Senate building for more than 6 months unless I was elected to do so, because I saw what those staffers were being paid, and I knew how much money they were making, and I was like, this is not a way to make a living, because
yeah.
these people were killing themselves making 30 grand a year, which, God bless them, they're the real MVPs on the Hill, but...
Yeah.
But I had a couple of friends at the time who were local producers, and they were like, let's put together a political show that you would host. So we went bar to bar. Shout out to Maple Leaf Pub in Midtown. They were huge supporters. They let me do whatever we wanted there. And we used to shoot live shows that we would air via Ustream, and I would have councilmen on, candidates, all types of stuff. And literally we would just sit around, have a couple of beers, and have a real conversation about issues. Because I had a mentor in politics. God rest his soul. His name was Representative Merle Phillips of Sunbury, Pennsylvania. And I had asked him one time, he was so beloved by his constituents. And I asked him one time, I said, you could do this on a national level. Have you never had those aspirations? And he had said to me, he said, this right here at the local level is where I can help people the most.
Wow.
And I was like, God, like that's the one guy that I've met throughout this whole time that was like, man, he really has some serious integrity. And I mean, there are other ones, but I mean, like it was a lasting impression that was left of me. So politics and all those issues, it's always been something that's been really important to me. And we did the show for a little bit. And it transitioned into me getting an opportunity to work on a Spanish but English-speaking station doing the same type of show but in a studio. And I did that for 6 months.
Were you Miguel Topolsky on that
station? Well, no. They tried to change my name
several times. Did they
really? Oh, they wanted to call me Martin. They wanted to call me Mateo. And I was like, the name is what it is, okay? So if you're going to try and pass me off as a Hispanic when I'm clearly an Anglo-Saxon Polish... Italian mutt, you know, whatever I am. Like, it is what it is. You guys want me to host the show, I'm going to host the show. So they sidecarred me with a guy named Roy Morales, who was a mayoral candidate here in Houston.
Definitely Hispanic.
Definitely Hispanic, but a Hispanic conservative.
Interesting.
Which was like, man, talk about a unicorn. So, Roy was Roy and I butted heads a lot on a lot of issues on the show, which is what made the show entertaining. But he was a really, really cool guy, and I enjoyed working with him. And when all that stuff kind of came to an end, what was interesting is I had a sound guy, and let me know when I'm rambling.
It's fine. I'll cut you off when you start getting boring.
Yeah. I had a sound guy on the show. His job was to just check audio levels and put lapel mics on guests. And he said to me, he goes,
crucial, crucial job.
It is a crucial job. But the sound guy is important because this is what got me into professional wrestling.
Huh.
He and I used to talk about wrestling all the time. And we'd stay in the studio late at night and we would screw around with the green screen and we'd put the David Flair Titantron on and stuff like that. And we were just, you know, and he's like, there's NWA wrestling up in this place on the north side. We should go up and check it out sometime. And I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go do this. And we went up there and it was what you would expect from independent wrestling. But I was like, it's wrestling.
Was that the first indie show you went to?
No, that was the first indie show I went to in Texas.
Okay. Because you told me you went to some original ECW shows.
When I was a kid, I did that with my dad. And shout out to Off of the Wild Samoan. I spent a lot of time at WXW in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, where I saw stars born the likes of Mean Gene Snitsky and Batista.
Oh, hey, Mean Gene Snitsky.
Yes.
Top star right there.
Yes. Those were my first experiences at indie shows. Got to meet Jerry the King Lawler once at an indie show, I think in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, and an indie show there and got a picture with him. That was how I kind of got into this thing and then did my deal for a while with NWA where we were producing some, you know, just little stuff for them and doing voiceovers on matches and stuff, and got to check out a couple of shows in San Antonio. They had a promotion out there, and I actually met some good friends along the way. Ray Rowe being one of them, Brent McKenzie being another one, two guys that are some of my favorite workers in the indies. And of course, Ray now a regular with Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And it's just a total badass and a stand-up guy. And that's the thing is, like, throughout this whole process, there's been a lot of trials and tribulations and bumps along the road. But I have also met great people, and it's brought me to a point now where I've never done anything that I've been happier or felt more fulfilled with than what we're doing together.
And I get that. I get that. Yeah. Okay, but you started doing the wrestling commentary there.
Right.
Growing up, your favorite commentators, who were they when you watched WWF or WCW?
Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
The greatest commentating team of all time.
See, I'm real partial to, you know what? I really like Gorilla when he was with Ventura.
I like that as well.
And I really love Ventura when he was with Vince McMahon.
I like that as well. I just think that Gorilla and Bobby had something that can never, ever be replicated. Those two had an on-screen romance.
They did. And
it was fantastic.
And I think, I don't know if I said this to you or to somebody else, but if Bobby Heenan wasn't in the professional wrestling business, he could have been a Johnny Carson-like.
I agree with you.
To bring it back to the opening topic of this conversation.
100%. Bobby Heenan.
So quick.
What an incredible mind. I mean, he was so witty. And I was just telling you the other night, I was watching Royal Rumble 92. And it's just the things that it cracked me up. Gorilla Monsoon saying, all right, let's go back to our colleague Sean Mooney. And Heenan just goes, who? And it was just stuff like that. It was just hilarious to me.
He was the best.
He was.
He was the best,
he
man.
Was.
So you always wanted to do it. You started doing it with the NWA.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is like people say, well, you know, you wanted to do politics. What does politics and pro wrestling have in common? They're the same thing.
They're the same exact
thing. Like, I actually did a segment to close one of my television shows once where I described the similarities between pro wrestling and politics. Number one, they're both predetermined sports. Okay, they're both entirely predetermined. Secondly, one side, political, they go out and they make stump speeches. Pro wrestling, you cut a promo. Again,
same thing.
The same thing. Everything always leads to a payoff and a crescendo. You may not like it, but it's coming every 2 and every 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in pro wrestling. It's the same exact thing. You have characters, you have heels, you have faces. It's exactly the same thing. You have issues that always divide each other. Pro wrestling is so simple, and that's what makes it so entertaining. Because when you don't, I mean, and you can make it as complex as you want to be, but in the end, it's very simple. You've got a guy over here that all these people hate for one reason or another. He's a bad dude. He says bad things about the other guy's mom, whatever. He Tonya Hardy'd him in a locker room, whatever the case may be, you know. And then on the other side, you've got this guy that, you know, eat your vitamins, say your prayers, drink your milk, do whatever you do,
brother.
You know. And the same thing is true with politics. I mean, it's exactly the same thing. So why not love them both? A very close personal friend of both of ours made a phone call to me in January and was like, hey, do you want to be involved in Reality of Wrestling? And
have you heard of Reality of Wrestling? Did you know what it was?
I knew what Reality of Wrestling was. I watched some of the shows on YouTube, and I was like, these guys are doing something. These guys are doing something. And
well, I'll say this, Topolsky.
You know?
I know, and I think everyone else knows, Reality of Wrestling is the flagship of Texas
I
Wrestling.
Agree.
It's the best show in the state.
I've got one better for you.
What's that?
It's the only show in the state.
There you go.
Okay. Is there another one on television?
There's not. There isn't. Beaumont,
here's the thing,
Dallas.
Here's the thing that I see when I look at Reality of Wrestling. Reality of Wrestling is the little engine that could.
Yeah.
And it's becoming a bigger engine every single day. Never in my life, and I'm not just talking about wrestling, I mean just companies. I've worked for corporations. Have I ever seen a group of individuals that work together more selflessly, who are more driven, who are more creative, and are more hungry to make something happen? And they are surrounded by more talent, and I am surrounded by more talent just being blessed and having the opportunity to be involved in this than I've ever been in my life doing anything. And this is a wrestling company. So what do you think we're going to do in 2015?
Oh, the takeover.
What do you think is going to happen in 2016? Like, the sky is the limit.
Yeah. And I think we've proved it. But let's get back to the Matt Topolsky story for a second. All right, because we digressed a little bit.
Okay.
But the Matt Topolsky story. So you come into Reality of Wrestling. What did you know that your role was going to be? Did you know what you were going to be doing?
I had no idea. What I had done is we had all sat down and we all sat down and had a conversation. We all had lunch.
Who's we?
It was me, a sponsor of the program who also happens to be my boss, Jim mm-hmm. Walker, walkertexaslawyer.com, shout out.
Wait, does that voice sound familiar?
Exactly, yeah.
I think I've heard that on some commercial.
An accident takes only seconds. But, but yes, who has been just the best, I mean, the greatest supporter of mine in the world. I mean, I'll never be able to thank him enough for everything. So I mean there's that. And we sat down, we had lunch with Booker T.
Yeah.
And
the owner of Reality.
Yes. And that was just a mind blowing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Where you do everything that you can not to act like a mark.
Oh, dude.
You know,
what are you telling?
And at that time we were talking about everything and about, you know, having yeah, go ahead. And having Walker involved and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I told Booker, I was like, I really, if there's ever an opportunity or a spot open, I would really like to sit down and try out for anything you got on the announce team or anything like that. And sure enough, a couple of weeks later, I got the opportunity.
And so here you are, you're an interviewer. Did you know you're going to be commentary is what I'm saying? Did you know you were going to come in and be the commentator?
I had no idea what it was going to
be. Was the first real project you worked on with Reality Wrestling, was it High Octane?
It was.
So here, I want to tell this story because it's incredible.
Yes.
So we're developing the show, High Octane. I'm sitting in production meetings, and we're talking about it,
mm-hmm.
and about it being kind of a Tough Enough-esque show.
giving some guys who are training at the gym an opportunity to get onto the actual reality wrestling show.
Yeah.
So we're pitching this concept, and then finally we get to the day of filming, and you know, I'm there just to help set everything up, see what we – and I figure I'm going to ring announce these guys, do whatever. And I remember you were there, and the assumption at the time was you and the then commentator, Alex Del Barrio, were going to host the show or commentate the show. I was going to be the ring announcer. And I just remember before we walked out there, Booker was like, "Yeah. You're going to do the the commentary, Gilmore." I was like, "What?" You know. And so I end up we end up going out there, and then but the funny thing is, and I think this will be a first time for people to understand, is when we went out there, we didn't call commentary at all.
We didn't.
We pantomimed commentary.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I think we did anything together.
It was, and it was fun.
It was fun.
We had a great time, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, it was like we were
there miming commentary, and it was first of all some of the best commentary I've ever had, and secondly, I had a great time with you. I was like, we've got real chemistry, and we haven't even spoken a word yet.
We didn't. And the funny thing is like if anyone goes and watches that first episode of High Octane, it's on YouTube. If you see us, we look like we're saying stuff, but we're actually not even saying words because we couldn't say anything because the camera would pick it up.
Yeah.
So we had to be completely silent. The magic of television.
There it is.
That's my point.
There
it is. The magic of television.
Yeah.
So you started working with Adrian Jones at first, right?
I did.
I love Adrian Jones.
I love Adrian Jones, too. Shout out to Adrian Jones.
How was that working with AJ?
Well, he's a riverboat gambler. You know, he goes out there and just whatever comes to mind immediately comes out of his mouth. which is fantastic. I loved working with him, and hope I can on something in the future. I mean, I think he's a great dude.
Oh, he's always one of my favorite people.
Yeah,
always one of my favorite people.
He's very positive, very upbeat, and he just gives off good vibes.
Yeah, and then you worked with Alex Del Barrio.
I did. Yeah.
Tom Jones is what we called him backstage because Booker wanted to change his name.
Yes.
Kind of like you. Your name was going to get changed at the Hispanic station.
It was
the Spanish station, I should say.
And I had a conversation with you about this the other day, where I was like, "Should I change my name?"
You asked that
because I'm just Topolsky doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
But once you understand, because I thought for the longest thought your name was Matt Zapolsky.
Yes,
for the longest
you thought I was involved with Ring of Honor.
I did. I really did. I was like, oh. I remember even saying to you, and I know you didn't understand it, I was like, Zapolsky.
Well, I introduced myself to you at the February show last year, and you were like, what kind of a name is that?
Did I say that?
That's exactly what you said to me.
Why would I say that? That's
I don't
terrible.
Know. And I walked away from it, I was like, this guy's a douchebag. Like, what is he?
Did I really say that?
Yeah, you're like, what kind of a name is that?
Oh, I had to have been joking.
I don't know whether you were or not, because I had just met you. I just introduced myself to you.
And
you
said,
know, they
what
say
kind
first
of
impressions are everything. So I'm like, man, this is...
I can't believe I said that.
I was like, this is some rub right here.
That's terrible.
Yeah, but then, you know, everything was fine.
Everything worked. So then, Adrian Jones leaves, Tom leaves.
Yeah.
And then you and I start working together.
Yes.
So then, I know me and you spent like a whole night at your office, like preparing for commentary. And then so I get out there for the first night, and I'm completely deer in the headlights as soon as that first match is going.
Yeah.
And I remember... after the show was over, the first time we did commentary together, I was like, it wasn't bad, but it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
And I remember, but then the next, like 2 days later, we do commentary, and it was incredible.
It was great. It was great. It's just getting that first, it's just jumping off the ledge for the first time, man, just getting wet, you know, just getting in the deep end.
And then this is when we start building our commentary style. What would you say Brad Gilmore, Matt Topolsky's commentary style is? Could you compare us to any other team of the past or present?
No. And that's why I think we're pretty good at what we do. I mean, I'm never going to be one to put myself over. I'll put you over because, I mean, I love you like a brother and you're talented as hell.
I appreciate it. I agree with you. No,
as a side note, I mean, like a lot of... you got to understand, like, I have a chip on my shoulder when it comes to what I try and do with my career, because things have never been, and again, this isn't me saying, you know, I walk to school every day in six inches of snow or whatever the hell. What I'm trying to say is that it never comes easy for anybody. But for me, it was always like guerrilla style, showing up, filming something, working at a cable access station, just doing anything I could for somebody to validate me.
Yeah.
As an entertainer, as a performer, as somebody that say, you know what? This kid's actually good at something. And this is the first time where I actually feel that. So selfishly, like I could do this for the next 100 years, right where we are right now, and never get paid for it. And I would still show up every day as long as I could breathe, because that's how much this means to me. So to answer your question, our style is different than anybody else's style. Our style is modern. Our style is fresh. It's not a face and heel commentator.
Yeah.
It's two guys that go out there, present what they see in a new era of sports entertainment. I think we do it about as good as anybody. And we genuinely have a chemistry on screen. And we're just, it's a lot of what I see, what we do at the desk is very Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Roadshow,
yeah,
type deal. You
I
know,
like that.
I mean, I'm just saying, because that I've always admired acts like that, where two guys can come together and have that type of chemistry. You know, like a Jack Lemmon and a Walter Matthau type deal.
Yeah,
you know, and be able to do everything that we can in this case, not to overshadow anything that's going on, but just to enhance what's happening and to help do whatever we can to put a spotlight on the great work that everyone at Reality of Wrestling is doing. You know,
I agree with you, man. And what we're going to do now, we're wrapping this thing up.
Yes.
But there's a couple things I want to do before we get out of here.
Okay.
Because I know I still have one thing I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
Right now, I want to do a word association.
Oh,
game.
Man. Okay.
So I'm going to say a couple names or thing or person, place, or thing, a noun.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say a few nouns.
Okay.
And I want you to give me one sentence or one word or one sentence,
okay,
of each of these topics. You ready? First thing I'm going to say, Booker T.
Respect.
Charmel.
Like a mother.
Kevin Bernhardt.
Wearer of many hats and a future emperor.
Ruthless Ryan Davidson.
One of the best people and one of the hardest workers I've ever met in my life.
Rich Brennan.
Immensely talented, and I'm very, very grateful to him.
James Bond.
Which one?
Oh, that's a good one. Breakfast.
Toast.
Women.
Oh, God.
Well, Matt Topolsky's on the show.
Yeah.
And I want to say, take this time to announce that you have a podcast coming out too.
I do. This is both the time for me to announce it and also thank you, because you have inspired me to do this type of thing. I don't know who's going to listen. I'd like it to be more than just a hobby, but if it's just a hobby, that's what it is. It gives me an opportunity to sit down with awesome people and have a great conversation about it. It's going to be called TP, the Topolsky Podcast. It's going to launch, if not in mid to late February, at the very latest, the beginning of March. And you can find out more about it at matttopolsky.com.
But you know me, Matt.
Yeah.
I'm a Twitter guy.
You are a Twitter guy.
Or you can go to at Matt Topolsky on Twitter and Facebook. And TP_Rowe on Instagram.
Yes, I now have 7 photos on there.
You're getting there.
I'm stepping up.
You're getting there.
You know, it's one of those things where this is the type of thing that's starting to make me feel old. It really
Instagram?
Is. I tried to teach my grandmother like how to use the internet. And she's like, oh, I'm just not going to get that. Like, Instagram is so simple, yet at the same time, I just never even click on it. I never even think to click on it.
You never think to. It's right next to the Twitter for me.
Yeah, I'm just like, I just go on Twitter. You know, that's where I live on Twitter.
Don't worry, old man. You'll get there.
All
right, Matt, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right, y'all stay tuned for next week of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand.
What a show. What an interview from the man, my main man, Matt T.P. Topolsky, coming on the podcast. The Topolsky Podcast is coming soon. I'm the first guest. Appreciate you listening today. Appreciate Matt for taking time to come on the show. And I want you to tune in every week, guys. It helps me out. I'd like to thank our sponsors for sponsoring this show, and it keeps it coming to you for free every single week. A lot of things are going on in the world of Brad Gilmore Show. Something is coming up, which I know all of you will be very excited about. I mean, very excited about. And I can't wait to announce it. But until then, make sure you give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Write a little review. 5-star rating. Give us a little review on iTunes. I'm sorry. Add us to your playlist on Stitcher Radio. Add us to your playlist on TuneIn Radio. And make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/Mr. Brad Gilmore. It's the only domain that wasn't taken. And we have new episodes of the Brad Gilmore Show going up on YouTube as well. And Views from the Announce Table coming very, very soon to a podcast near you. So I'm really excited. Happy Monday. We'll get through this week together. All right, until next time, I'm Brad Gilmore, and this is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand.
The Brad Gilmore Show expresses views and opinions that apply to Brad Gilmore and his guest alone. They do not reflect the views and opinions of Reality Wrestling 2011 or any other entity.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes and add us to your playlist on Stitcher Radio. Come tune in next week.